We're following the money, with Senator Cruz now out of the race and the PN, the presumptive nominee for the GOP, now Donald Trump. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. As you've been hearing, businessman and TV star Donald Trump has all but clinched the Republican nomination after his landslide in Indiana. John Kasich is still in. Trump has dug deep into his own pocket to fund his insurgent primary campaign. Marketplace's Washington correspondent Kimberly Adams joins us live. How will the money flow now?
That's kind of the big question on the minds of all the politicos right now, especially the nervous congressional candidates who will probably have to run on that Republican ticket with him come November. Now, Trump's campaign has said that he would fundraise for them, but he's such a polarizing figure, now they have to decide if they even want him to. That's considering that several big conservative donors like the Koch brothers are already sitting things out.
Mr. Trump has been bitterly fought by the Republican establishment, as you say. Is that set to change?
So the RNC chair, the Republican National Committee chair, did say last night that Trump is the presumptive nominee and they are going to work together. And that's despite the best efforts of many, many people. According to CNN, more than $75 million was spent on anti-Trump ads, and that's just on broadcast TV. That money is coming from Democrats, other GOP candidates, and those anti-Trump super PACs. Many of those Trump opponents are saying they still won't support him.
Well, you know what? I wanted to also ask you, what about Trump's own fundraising? He made so much of the fact that he was largely self-funded.
You know, it's going to be tough for him to keep that up. If you look at, from the Federal Election Commission, the cash on hand, Trump only has about $2 million in cash on hand versus Clinton, who has almost 30, and Sanders with $17 million, and Clinton's already using the fact that Trump is the presumptive nominee to fundraise.
All right, there we go. Kimberly, thank you. The BBC's reporting European officials are set to recommend this morning that people from Turkey should be allowed to travel in much of Europe without a visa. This is an especially big deal given Europe's ongoing refugee crisis. Marketplace's Andy Euler has our report.
In March, Turkey agreed to help stop migrants crossing into Europe. The EU would give Turkey 6 billion euros and consider letting Turks visit Europe visa-free. Eric Schwartz teaches public policy at the University of Minnesota.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was some significant positive nod toward visa-free travel coming out of this meeting.
EU officials say Turkey must meet the same requirements for visa-free travel as other countries. Kamal Kadishci is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution.
The relationship between the European Union and Turkey is a very foul one right now.
Europe has criticized Turkey's human rights record. Turkey accuses the EU of dragging its feet. Germany, which got flak for the deal with Turkey, has taken in more than 1 million refugees. Henri Barki is director of the Middle East program at the Wilson Center.
This is an existential crisis for Europe. This is why Merkel had to make the deal.
If the deal falls through, Europe will have to make alternative plans. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Hi, David Brancaccio here. Thank you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We give you the context we think you need to understand what's happening in the economy and why it matters to you. Some context on us: we are a nonprofit service and rely on donations from our listeners to keep going. Your gift, in any amount, will be automatically doubled this month, thanks to the generosity of Newman's Own Foundation. And we've just made special Let's Do the Numbers Pilsner glasses available to thank you for your support. Donate today at marketplace.org. Now to the cost to taxpayers versus the benefit to society of giving expensive medicine to prison inmates. An estimated 15,000 people in the U.S. die each year as the result of hepatitis C. About 1% of the U.S. population is thought to be infected, but in prison, it's about 17% who have it. But new, highly effective drugs cost a lot. Reporter George Lavender has more.
At the prison hospital inside the California Men's Colony, about 3 hours north of Los Angeles, Floyd Masterson is waiting to pick up some medication.
But I also got to see my doctor today at 12 o'clock.
Like the rest of the inmates, he's dressed in a dark blue prison uniform. And like a sizable number of those, Masterson has hepatitis C.
Definitely have it.
How did you find out?
Well, I was subpoenaed back down to L.A. County Jail, and they told me that I had hep C.
Like many prisoners, he says he probably got it from drug use. He says day to day, it doesn't really bother him, but if it's left untreated, it could lead to liver cancer and even death. Up until a few years ago, the only treatment came with some horrible side effects.
They say it make it homicidal or suicidal, you know.
And the chances of actually being cured were 50-50. That all changed in 2011 when new drugs arrived that worked much better.
Pretty miraculous.
That's Dr. Johannes Ha, chief medical executive at the prison. California has been using two of those drugs, Sovaldi and Harvoni, for the past 2 years.
We have gone from treatment that had a success rate of pretty much a toss of the coin to now upwards of 90%.
The flip side is that these drugs are much more expensive. California treatment costs skyrocketed from just over $10 million to $47 million last year. And that's given many corrections departments sticker shock.
So there is no doubt that these drugs are expensive.
But they're worth it, says Harvard's Dr. Jagpreet Chatwal. He studied the economics of treating hepatitis C in prisons and showed if you cut the rate of infections in prison, you'll cut it society-wide.
And we found that 90% of the new infections would be prevented outside the prisons by intervening inside the prisons.
To do this, he says, would require prisons on average to ramp up spending by an extra 12%. And that while that could be a hard sell...
It's a question of spending now versus later.
In California, I'm George Lavender for Marketplace.
And safety regulators in Washington could announce as early as today 35 million more cars that will have to be recalled to fix or replace airbags made by Takata that can throw off shrapnel when the cars get older. 11 people have died from these around the world. That would bring the total to 63 million vehicles recalled in the U.S. SaferCar.gov has a useful way to look up your particular car by its unique identification number, the VIN. I just got the letter saying my 10-year-old car has one of these Takata airbags that might do us harm. The letter from my car company said they didn't have a plan yet to deal with it, but they thought I should know. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.